And here we go. Welcome to the Tejas Thoughts Podcast, where dreamt realities are lived and people filled with purpose share their thoughts. Why the name, might you ask? Because thoughts filled with purpose are contagious. So our interview today, it's actually the second interview I ever recorded about a year ago, actually over a year ago, outside of a couple that I did with my wife. This was just really early on. So needless to say, I was still kind of getting down my interview flow and learning my equipment and my recording technique. So I, you know, not like the type of interview quality or I guess sound quality that I would release today, but I really enjoyed my conversation with Pekins, so I still wanted to release the episode. So some major news that I wanted to share with you guys is this is actually going to be our last audio only episode. So going forward, we're still going to be releasing on all the regular audio podcast platforms, but now we're also going to have a video component to the interviews. Needless to say, I'm very excited about this. This is a really exciting step for the podcast. You know, when we started out, wanted to do audio only, but the intention was always to go video, you know, one day. So you're still going to get the same great product, but just now there's going to be a video component. So looking forward to that next week. Please stay tuned. And I want to introduce our guest today. So the guest today, his name is Pekins. And this man is, he's an entrepreneur and he's a commercial real estate agent. He has his own properties as a real estate investor. He's been featured by Gary Vee and shouted out by Gary Vee. He's hosted his own podcast in the past and currently is hosting his own podcast. He's built stores on Amazon. He's a husband, a father, a man with a huge heart for humanity. Without further ado, let's dive into the episode. I'm curious. How did this whole thing start, man? Like, today I really want to just dive into your personal journey. Your personal journey in, I want to say entrepreneurship, but I don't even want to put it in a box, you know? But I am curious, you know, where your entrepreneurship journey started. Yeah, back to the origins, man.
It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
And I really want to dig deep to give you an accurate answer.
Sure.
And even as I say it, I might want to adjust it because I really don't know, but I'm going to freestyle and say what I think.
Yeah.
But I think I've always had something, I've always felt like I had something to prove.
Yeah.
Still do. To myself, to my community, people that that may believe in me for some reason. And since I was young, it started out with me being very friendly. I just love. And I love feeling love, and I love expressing love to people. And when I was in elementary school, I was voted most friendliest.
Wow.
Yeah. And to me, it made so much sense because of the energy that I wanted to be around, I tried my best to give off that energy. And I always want a sort of safe space. If I can't create it, I leave it.
Yeah.
And I just do my best to try to create it. And for me, business is very simple. It's you provide value to someone that needs it.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the best way to know what value someone would appreciate is to listen to them.
Yeah.
Because they'll tell you.
Yeah.
You just got to listen.
Right.
That's why for me, with sales, even though I'm a salesman, I also have to understand the psychology of people. You're not going to sell someone something that they don't want.
Yeah.
You first have to hear what they want, and then you can try to figure out what they might need so that they can sell themselves. They can sell whatever you're offering to themselves because they can put it together and you can help guide them through that. So anyway, I started selling candy. Yes. Really young.
Yes.
That was my first, I believe, experience in entrepreneurship. Started in middle school, I believe. No, it might have been elementary.
And hustling elementary school.
Yeah.
Slinging candy. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember elementary because it started in middle school.
Yeah.
But after school in middle school, we would go to elementary school because my sister was over there. Okay. Yeah. We'd sell to her friends. But anyway, the way that it worked was we'd have a trip that we need to raise money for,
right,
sell the box of candy, and then we'd go to the dollar store, buy candy $3-4, flip it, make 3 times the profit.
Man.
But this time, we don't sell the same candy that everyone else is selling. We have different candy now. So we stand out.
Smart.
That's valuable. Because you could go anywhere and get the same M&Ms, but we got the Skittles gum. Or maybe we have the, I don't know, something different.
Yeah.
And I love doing it because it provided me with options. I didn't grow up with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Didn't grow up with a decent amount. Like, it was just enough. We supported each other as a family, but there was always something that we couldn't do, something we couldn't afford. Mm. Whether it was music equipment for band, or there's a trip coming up, money is tight. I needed options.
Yeah.
Selling candy provided me with options.
Yeah.
We made our own money. We just had to get the permission slip signed. You know what I mean? We made enough money for the field trips. All we needed from our parents in that sense, sign the permission slip. Yeah. And they were happy to, because we didn't ask for nothing else.
Right. If you want to go, raise the money.
And I also did it with my brother. And I think that was also a very powerful thing because it created fun. You know, we did it together. Yeah. That was my boy. That was my brother.
You started middle school. I mean, you were hustling, and that was kind of your first experience with having a goal that you had reason and desire, you know, to achieve. You know, you didn't want to be the only one in the class, like, not going on a field trip. And everybody's like, oh, you going? And it's like, nah, I'll catch it next time. You know, I'll catch it next time. No one wants to be that kid.
I didn't even look at it from the sense of I'd be left out.
Sure.
It was more so, I want to be a part,
right,
and I'm going to make it happen,
right,
because there's a solution for everything.
Yeah.
It was more from a, like, I know it can happen. Let's make it happen.
Right.
And then maybe I can get to a point where after I've exhausted all my options, then maybe I can start thinking, you know what? It's probably going to end up me being left out. Not even consider that.
Right. When you were younger, You had a goal or a dream or a desire, something you wanted to happen, and you were like, if I want this thing to happen, there must be a way. Like there must be a path. There must be, you know, I'm not going to allow there to be a barrier or blockage between like what I desire and what I'm willing to do to make it happen. You know, and I'm curious, you know, what was that? It seems like that was the kind of the dream when you were younger was to make those things that you desire. We use the field trip, for example, or whatever. You wanted to have options. That's kind of what it came down to. But looking into your, say, adult years or like later on and like just you, you know, growing up from that time, like, what was the dream then? Like, what were you trying to accomplish?
So I'm a big believer that, okay, so I don't like to feel limited. Meaning, when my dad would ask me constantly, let's talk about what you want to do when you get older. It stressed me out a little bit because I felt like I had to have an answer. And with having that answer, it also like you have a constraint because it puts you in a box. Now, okay, you want to be a doctor? That's the thing that you're just going to be focusing on, right? And I would provide an answer because that was the assignment, you know. So I'd say, okay, doctor sounds cool, right? So that'd be it. But I'm also a big believer that there's not one thing that you have to do. And I want to do a lot of things. And I'm going to try a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why I'm thinking about it now, I think I have some sort of insight into why I think the way that I do. If we go back to what I was saying before about how I love to be around love, loving energy, and that feel good vibe around people, I love to connect with people. Now, that connection that I create, that I'm able to create with people, it comes with having a lot of not just empathy, but really putting myself in the other person's shoes, like genuinely, honestly thinking, how would I feel if I was on the other side? How would I feel if I were you? How would my life be? I was genuinely curious about other people's lives, how they live, what they feel, what do they know? And when you have, like for me, because I had that ability to do so and that desire to consistently do that, it also allowed me to kind of tap into many different perspectives and ways of thinking. And if this person, I'm able to understand their point of view about what they desire out of life, and I'm truly feeling what they feel, then I may inherit a little bit of that feeling or that desire for to be a principal like you want to be, or a podcast host like you want to be. Because for that moment of time when you're expressing that level of passion about something, I kind of feel it too, and it taps into my curious nature. So it made me think about my life in a sort of limitless potential, because I don't believe that I'm much different than you, and I don't believe that you're much different from anyone else. I think we have different circumstances, but our mindsets can be shifted in many different ways if you allow it to be. So if I see that someone can be a successful commercial real estate investor or commercial real estate agent, I don't think that it's too crazy for me to want that dream as well.
Yeah,
I think it's possible for me too. I may not have had the same upbringing as you, or the same advantages that you might have, or disadvantages that you might have.
Yeah.
But I do believe that if I adjust my mindset towards something more closely related to where yours is at, and I figure out what is missing from mine to get closer to yours, then I can be a successful commercial real estate agent. It's very simple. It's just difficult to actually apply it. But it, when you really think about it like that, if what separates us is our mindsets in our current circumstances, and you're able to try to figure out ways to change your current circumstance and change your mindset, why can't you do something?
Yeah, yeah. Now, you mentioned something earlier. You said something along the lines of you felt like you needed to like prove yourself, like to, I don't know if you said the world or to yourself. Elaborate, please.
So I don't know what that's necessarily rooted from.
Sure.
I do know that I want to always make the people that love me proud. And that requires a lot of that requires a lot of looking internally, introspectively. But it also requires thinking about my external image constantly as well. It does lead to anxiety, though. But I don't really know why I always feel like I have something to prove. I think part of it could be that I have a sort of belief that you can take control of your life and the trajectory that it's going in. We all have free will. And so there's a lot of power in that. If you're in a current circumstance right now, there are crumbs, there are clues that you've left along the way to get to where you're at right now, that if you had shifted direction, just one different decision in the past, you could have been in a different place. So what that tells me is I have a lot of control over where my life can go.
Yeah.
And I take on that pressure. I don't leave it up to parents or friends or spouse or like children. I take it on because I feel that responsibility that no one else, I believe, is going to take from me or take for me, because they have their own lives and their own weight of responsibility to try to control the trajectory of their lives. So yes, I feel a lot of pressure and a lot to prove, maybe because I know that I'm going to be the one that you blame or applaud if something goes well or badly in my life.
Interesting. I have a quote that I want to read, and want your thoughts. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna pull it up here. All right, so have you seen all the Rocky movies?
No.
Have you seen any of the Rocky movies?
I think in pieces when movies would just come on the I say it like it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Still, but
because that's a dying breed. You know, the people that can actually relate to what you just said.
Yeah.
Where
everything's on demand now.
Yeah. 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 But, I guess it's like YouTube TV and like, you know, yeah.
Well, some people haven't cut the cord. Have you cut the cord?
I have YouTube TV.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have basic, you know.
Basic. He's in the basic for the basic people.
Basic. Basic garbage.
You're upper echelon.
Upgrade to YouTube. What are you talking about? Oh, man. So I'm not a Rocky expert by any means. I've probably seen like one or two of the movies, and I probably only watched one all the way through.
Yeah.
But this is a quote that I actually heard referenced in a completely different podcast like years ago, and it's just stuck with me over the years. And here's a quote. So he says, "Ah, come on, Adrian. It's true. I was nobody, but that don't matter either. You know, because I was thinking, it really don't matter if I lose this fight. It really don't matter if this guy opens up my head either. Because all I want to do is go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed. And if I can go that distance, you see, and that bell rings and I'm still standing, I'm going to know for the first time in my life, see, that I weren't just another bum from the neighborhood." So he's like, if I can just go the distance, then I'll know that I'm not a bum. And it's this quote has like stuck with me for like years, you know, because it's like everything in this guy's like life and his existence is like riding on like this moment. Like he's like, if I can beat this guy. And when he says go the distance, I don't know if he means just like last 12 rounds in the fight, or if he means like win the fight, like knock the guy out, or go however many rounds without getting knocked out, whatever it is. He's like, if I can do this, then I'll know that I'm not a bum. Not a failure, not a loser, you know. And it's like this desire to prove ourselves, not just to other people, but to prove ourselves like to ourselves, you know. And I've been actually, this has been a theme of mine. The listeners know this. This has been a theme of mine for the last few episodes, where I've been just digging into just, I'm not even going to say taking out. I don't know how good of a job I've actually done or what I've actually uncovered on my own. But this concept of why we do what we do, and like, why do people feel the need to prove themselves? You know, especially people who are very ambitious and very driven and very, such as entrepreneurs and business owners or people who have these big dreams and goals. Like, I think it's helpful. I think it's important to pause and think, man, like, why do I do what I do? Like, what drives me? You know, and that's kind of my question for you. It's somewhat of a twofold question. It's, you know, in terms of what drives you, you know, what drives you, what motivates you, what inspires you. And you already partially answered the first question as far as like, you know, what, you know, why do you feel the need to, like, why do you think, not even just you, but why do you think that as people we feel the need to prove ourselves, you know? But I think you already spoke a bit to that, you know? You know,
I can speak more. I think people can probably, I think you can have a whole long lecture about it because sure. of how complicated people are.
Yeah, yeah.
And the different things that drive people. If we look at it empirically, probably a more simpler way to look at it is once you start realizing that you only have one life to live and time continues to pass you by and then you don't get it back, you start valuing the days that you have, that you know you have. Mm. If you don't start thinking, if you don't really think about how finite time is, then you probably don't have much drive to change anything or to grow in any way. And status quo might be just fine for you.
Sure.
And then when you do start to have that realization, maybe that will be a kick in, you know, where you need it to be, so that it can propel you forward. But I don't think you can rush that. I don't think you can like fake it or create it artificially either. I think for different people, there's different situations that stimulate a drive in them. For some people, it can be a death where they realized, oh man, he was too young. Mm. She was too young. This shouldn't have happened. And it could have been me because I'm not special.
Right.
That could stimulate that for you. For someone else, it could be you're comparing yourself to someone that you feel was at the same level as you at some point, and then they surpassed you. Mm. I think that's short-lived, but it can still stimulate you, at least temporarily, but you have to utilize that energy to create something more sustainable. Because at the end of the day, it needs to come from you, not externally from you. You can have things that remind you of how finite life is, but then you'll need to start creating that energy within yourself to say, I want more. I want to enjoy life more, and I want to do X, Y, and Z. And the only way for me to be able to have more control over the options that I want to have is for me to do something different. Hmm. If all of the options that we want in life just came to us, the drive that you speak of wouldn't be necessary. But if we know that, okay, I want to be able to retire at some point, I want to drive this kind of car, I want to have time freedom, I want to be able to not worry about my student loan or mortgage, college tuition, mm-hmm. all of those things come at a cost.
Yeah.
That cost, you can either put it on someone else and say, I'm going to need your help, and that's the only way that it can be accomplished, or you can say, I'm going to take control over what options I have as much as I can. And that almost always includes other people in your path as help, but it's not entirely dependent on someone else taking control of it and just hoping, oh, that person's gonna help me out. Nah. You figure it out, and you figure out who to place in the right places, what to leverage, but you're taking charge of what you want to happen because it's your life.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's very like me. Like everything you just said, like it hits and resonates with me.
Because I know you. I'm playing.
You do. But I mean, but there's so many people out there, and maybe even entrepreneurs, that maybe they don't operate like that naturally. You know, and I don't know if that's like a good or bad thing per se. I think that we're all born with a certain set of traits, skills, characteristics, and I think that it's important to embrace who we are. I think it's important to embrace our strengths.
Absolutely.
Embrace our weaknesses. And like I tell my business partner all the time, like, you know, whatever our strengths are, like, let's lean into our strengths and then let's accept our weaknesses for what they are. Just accept them, that they're our weaknesses. Be okay with them. Embrace that those are our weaknesses. But then find specific things that are connected to our weaknesses that we can work on or grow in or improve. And then rest in that and say, you know what? Yeah, these are my weaknesses. But you know what? I've selected a couple of, you know, maybe one specific mm-hmm. thing that I'm gonna be actively working on that I can see growth. Like I can see progress. You know, it's measurable or whatever it is. And as for the rest of my weaknesses, I can get to that when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working on myself, and then I'm gonna lean into my strengths.
Yeah.
Celebrate my strengths. I'm also curious, you know, going on the same kind of tangent of just what drives you and what's driven you in the past. But I think it'll also be helpful for the listeners just to know, like, where have you been, like, you know, on your journey? Like, what are the different things, you know, I'm going to say business ventures, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, but what are the different things that you've dabbled in or touched along your journey? And the follow-up question to that is, if you can just think of a single, you know, moment or experience that's been the most challenging
mm-hmm.
throughout that journey, that process, like, what would it be?
So let me just start by saying, it's always going to be hard to do something to accomplish a vision in some way.
Sure.
And I think a lot of times people oversimplify it and we give excuses where there's no space for it, meaning, oh, this entrepreneur accomplished this. Yeah, but they did have help from this and that and kind of discount the part where they used what they had and figured out a vision and accomplished it.
Right. Right.
And we all have different starting points. It's always going to be hard. Our brains are not designed for us to do anything comfortable. I'm sorry, uncomfortable.
Right.
Our brains are not designed for us to do something uncomfortable. It's designed to help keep us safe and in a predictable space. Anytime that you start going outside of something that is predictable, your brain works against you. And it's a constant battle. So when you start oversimplifying it and saying, yeah, this person had a vision and accomplished it, yeah, but they went through all that process of fighting with their mind every day to build a routine, to figure out what they don't know so that they can start to know it, and then to figure out who they need to communicate with, connect with, and what systems to leverage and what people to leverage and how to bring it all together and present it in a way where it provides value to somebody. And you just start, you only look at it empirically and say, he had this, which was further than where I'm at. So, of course, it was easy.
Yeah.
Right? I don't look at it that way. Life is already hard. But once you start thinking about what you want to accomplish, there's a lot of obstacles along the way. So, for me, during when I was in college, I was fixing computers for the school, saw that there was a void where, like, we couldn't service the students' computers, only the faculty staff, and there was a need for the students to be serviced. So my brother and I, we started fixing computers for students and charging them. These were our classmates. You know, we studied with them, then we charged them to remove viruses because they needed it. And then we started a business. We started a business doing that officially. And We made some good money. They paid for our books. They paid for our food, gas money. And people needed websites. They didn't know how to do that, but I promised that I could do it because I had a team of people who knew more than me. My brother and another guy that we were working with. And so I thought that I could, I felt, you know, I could leverage their experience, and we can promise this service. So we did that. And the guy that knew more than us in the group, he dropped out. So now it's me and my brother, and we don't know that much. So we have to figure it out. That was hard.
Yeah.
But we figured it out because we love our reputation.
Yeah.
It created a sort of pressure that was necessary. We learned what to do so that we could save our reputation because we promised them that we can do it. But that accelerated our learning, accelerated our growth. And so now we knew much more about website design. Started doing it more. Then we started a business doing that. Opened up an office a few blocks away from the university, and that started the journey of us building our website design and online marketing consulting firm.
Wow.
That was very exciting for me. But you're always trying to move forward in life, For me, at least, I always want to try to move forward and not just stay doing the same thing forever. So things naturally graduate into something else. Mainly, one, because things change and the things that people need change. And you got to adjust if you're a service provider. So you either sink or swim. If they need something different, are you going to provide something different? Or are you just going to keep shoving the same thing down the throat?
Right.
So I had to change. Yeah, so we provided that, and at one point I had dropped out, for a few reasons. One, the amount of learning that I was doing, like actual learning, was very accelerated the way that we were doing it. I love the pace, I did feel like I don't want to downplay any curriculums in the schools or anything like that.
Sure.
But for me, I knew that the pace that I was going at, I liked it. It fit for the real world. I was working in the real world, what someone would want to do after the degree. So I was fine with it. But then the thing that really made me actually do it was I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and my priorities changed. I wanted to try to cure it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really wanted to try to cure it because I didn't know where it came from, and the doctors just dropped it on me. I went to the hospital one day, and they said it was I could have went into a coma. It was almost 1,000. My blood sugar was almost 1,000, and I figured no one's going to tell me how to fix this. You just want a client for life, so I'm going to try to figure it out. But I didn't have a team. Long story short, I couldn't cure it. I couldn't cure it. Still dealing with it. But it's not because I didn't try.
Yeah.
A challenge comes to you, you try to figure it out. That's how I am.
Yeah.
You try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did end up graduating at some point at a different school. But that was because I was considering more stability with my finances, because the business was declining for one reason or another. And for a few reasons, and I was also getting married, and I had to think outside of myself. I'm not just a single guy anymore trying things. I need to have answers and have a sort of responsibility that's different from what I'm used to. And I considered getting a full-time job. And I know that sounds like, okay, so everybody does. But this was someone that told himself that I don't ever want a full-time job working for someone else. But I'd rather work for as many people as possible and have a bunch of bosses, but I have control over my future in terms of what I focus on.
I'm noticing a common theme here of wanting to control your reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned earlier, like, you wanted to have options. Like, you didn't want to just be stuck with, you know, no options. Yeah. You're just stuck, you know. And then, you know, you mentioned it again just now, like, mm-hmm. you know, just wanting to have some type of control over what you experience, you know, in your life. Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah. I'm not going to come crying to anybody when something happens in my life that I knew I could have influenced into, you know, towards a different direction.
Right.
And it's not to put blame or like it's not to assign blame anywhere. It's more so it's just reality. Everyone has their own life to worry about. So you should worry about yours as well and where it's going. So that you don't end up blaming someone else for your options or lack of options.
Yeah.
Probably one of the more challenging things recently was leaving my job. And that's been very difficult. But I'm comfortable in it right now.
Yeah.
I'm like not comfortable in the sense that like it's comfortable, but I feel challenged but ready for the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know solutions are out there, and this kind of goes back to if someone else can do it, I can figure it out too.
Yeah.
I know the challenges are there because why do I know? Everyone reminds me of it. Every chance they get.
Yeah.
Like, bro, you know the economy's failing.
Oh, no, don't worry. We're getting there. We're getting in the next podcast. Oh, we're going to dive into that.
Why are you quitting your job, though?
Oh, man. Oh,
you
man.
Sure?
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, so with the with where you're at now, like, what are you trying to accomplish, like, right now? Like, what's the dream for you now? What's the vision for you now? And obviously, you know, you're not going to spill all the beans, but as much as you're comfortable sharing, what's the vision and the dream for you now?
So for me, I really don't care about a lot of specifics.
Yeah.
I have no, like, I really don't care about a lot of specifics because I'm here to enjoy life. Yeah. But what I do want I'm fighting for every single day is a certain type of freedom.
Yeah.
That's what I wake up to strive for every single day. Financial freedom and time freedom.
Hmm.
Yeah. Whatever it takes for me to accomplish that. Whether it's an investment property, more investment properties, getting a good commission from a real estate transaction, whatever it takes, I want freedom so that I can have more control over my life. There we go again.
Yeah.
I'm consistent.
You're consistent, man. You're consistent. So I mean, like, where does that come from? Like, what you just described, like wanting the financial freedom, the time freedom. I know for me, it's just so interesting because, like, you know, you go on our website right now, you know, and you know, for like our, you know, for like our business, mm-hmm. and the first trait, you know, in terms of like our values, is freedom. You know, very similar freedom, like, you know, wanting financial freedom, wanting the time freedom, wanting career freedom. I don't want no one telling me, like, you know, I want a promotion, and you're like, nope, mm-hmm. ain't getting a promotion. I'm giving that guy or that girl a promotion. And you can sit your behind right where you're at. You know? You know, wanting the career freedom. If I want to pivot,
you got no choice
in
the matter.
Yeah, right. But what if I wanted to pivot and try something new or go on a different business venture? I want to have the freedom to do so instead of having someone who can tell me yes or no. Or I say, hey, you know, it's my daughter's birthday. You know, I need to take off. And they're like, oh, no, we need you that day. Sorry. Luckily, my current job situation is not that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
so if you ask me, when I look at many different people that I interact with, I see a different version of a trapped person. And it's all different things. We're all trapped in some way. Something holds you back, or you feel trapped in some way where there's something that you cannot control. There's something that you would want in your life to be different, but for one reason or another, it's not different. We don't live in a perfect world, and no one is perfect. So there's always going to be a certain amount of striving for something else. You ask someone what they want out of life, they might tell you, but then they'll tell you what is stopping them from getting it. Hmm. That's part of what's trapping you. Hmm. Try to figure out how to untrap yourself.
Yeah.
And it looks different for everybody. For me, it could be I want to not have to worry about... For me, it could be I want to be able to have the time to work on music. Can I do that right now?
Right.
Not for as long as I want. Well, why not? Because I need to build a bank of money, so that I'd be able to comfortably do that without having to worry about the bills. Because that exists.
Right.
Well, how do I untrap myself? Make some money.
Right.
So I could make some music.
Yeah.
What's trapping you? Because we're all trapped.
Yeah.
You can't, like, everyone's trapped in some way.
Yeah.
And that's why different things drive different people for different reasons.
And that's real, because I think that when I think of why I value freedom so much, it's because I hate the feeling of being trapped. Like, I hate the feeling of owing Navient or Sally Mae money. You know, that's going to take me X amount of years to pay off. And I want freedom from that. I don't want to be, you know what I mean? Like, you're just dragging me around and, you know, you have this, I have this, you know, cloud over my head. And I know it's all how you look at it, but it feels like a cloud over my head, you know, because I owe somebody money.
Yeah.
I don't want to owe anybody money, you know, that I can't just, if I so choose to, just pay off.
Yeah.
Like, if it's one thing if I owe you money or not, and it's by choice, and at any point in time, I can just pay it off. But if I don't have the ability to pay that off whenever, now mm-hmm. you have something over me, you know, and same with my time. Like I am the kind of person where, leave me, you know, without any obligations or structure or whatever to my day, I can just do whatever I want. And I just on a whim, I might just choose to just go on a random hike somewhere and just climb up a mountain somewhere. Or I might be like, I'm just gonna drive to New York City and just mm-hmm. go to the Empire State Building and just look at the view. Or I might just go to that pizza shop and grab me a slice real quick.
And see, now that's a dog out of a leash. That's a happy dog, ain't it?
Just going wherever and doing whatever, you know? But I can't do that every day. I have responsibilities. I have, you know, job, wife, kids, everything, you know? And it's like a lot of these things I'm grateful for, right? But what I tell my wife often is a lot of us live inside of a box that we climbed into all on our own and closed the top. All we got to do is just open the top of the box and climb out. But doing that will be one of the hardest things that you ever do.
Yes.
But it's not so much that doing it is the hardest thing. It's that realizing that you're in the box and then embracing the fact that you can open the top of the box and to climb out the box. That mentality flip can be the most difficult portion, the most difficult part of this. And with that, let's move on to the no regrets segment of the show.
Come on, hey. It's my show. Hey. The no regrets segment of the show is where myself and the guests have the chance to listen to the entire episode and answer the following questions. Number one, is there anything that you said that you regret saying, even if it's how you said something? And number two, is there anything that you did not say that you wish you did say? And with that, let's dive in. So before we get to the no regrets segment of the show, just a couple of quick reminders. Stay tuned for the episode next week. Next week is going to be our first video episode release. And going forward, we plan to have a video aspect to our podcast, as well as the audio that you're already used to and enjoy. So really exciting step for the show, as I mentioned in the intro. Stay tuned and let me know what you think. Give any feedback. Shoot me a DM, email, comment on a post I do on IG. Just get to me somehow and let me know what you think, please. Also, this is your official invitation to join the Contagious Collective. What is the Contagious Collective, might you ask? Well, this is a Patreon group that gives you access to exclusive content that I don't release on the normal platforms. I get to share on a regular basis insight into my personal journey as an entrepreneur and creative, trying to make my dreams into a reality. And then we also release some behind the scenes footage, like, you know, bloopers and questions that we feel like weren't appropriate for the main platform. So things that I mention or I hint at on the show, I go into a lot more detail on Patreon. So, for example, like why I started this podcast, why, you know, the kind of all the background and details behind that. What's it like running a business, running a podcast as a husband and a father, trying to juggle all these different things, also working a full time job. You know, I go into a lot more details about what the behind the scenes looks like. We can always talk about all the sexy things like starting a business and trying to make money and this and that, but while you're doing that, there's very real things that are going on behind the scenes that can make it difficult. So I get into all those details on Patreon. And did I mention that it's only $5 a month? I don't think I mentioned that. So I'll mention it now. It's only $5 a month. And we get to grow together as a family. There's also a Discord community that I started where some of the guests who come on this very podcast are on that Discord. So you can ask your questions. We can chat in the community and help each other grow what we're trying to grow and build what we're trying to build. Also, please check out Peekins on social media. I will link all of his info in the show notes. Follow us on social media as well if you're not already, for updates and new releases about upcoming collabs. And sometimes we even throw out some, new merch. And you don't want to miss that because our merch is pretty fly. Without further ado, let's dive into the no regrets segment of the show. So this is a little bit different of a no regrets segment than what we've been doing lately. Lately, we've been doing them live. And this might actually be my last, like, not live no regrets segment. So I asked these questions to Peekins after he had a chance to listen back to the interview. So I'll share my regrets and then I'll share Peekins for each of the questions. So for the first question, as far as anything that we said that we regret saying, so for me, it's not something that I said that I regret saying. It's more so just the way that the interview was recorded. And I mentioned that it was my one of my first episodes that I ever recorded, and I was still learning my equipment and all that. And I recorded, because Pekins was, we were together, we recorded this, and we recorded into my virtual studio, and it was a combined audio track. And usually, for those of you who don't know, when you record audio, like on a podcast, you record onto separate audio tracks. So if one person is louder or quieter, you can adjust the audio levels and balance everything out. So, but when you record on the same one, on the same audio track, if one person is quieter or louder, it can just be difficult to fix that in the post-production. So, and I won't get into the weeds there, but there's ways to do it, but it's just time consuming. And so I wish that I had recorded this differently. But you live and you learn. And now I know, right? And then number two, actually, wait, before I go to number two, Pekins. So Pekins said that he did not have any regrets, but he is just glad that he landed his thoughts. You know, I guess he just felt like some of his answers were, I guess, more long-winded, and he was just kind of hoping the whole time. He's like, man, as he was listening back, he's like, man, I hope I land my thoughts, you know, and he did. I think he landed them pretty well. And he said that he didn't like the way his voice sounded in the beginning, but, you know, I think he's kind of used to it. He has his own podcast, but I'm the same way. Sometimes I hear my voice, I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I like that, but it's all good. Ooh, one more thing, actually, before I go on to question number two. There was an example of, you know, in the episode where I was talking about things I would do if I had the level of freedom that I wanted to have. And one of the things I said, and I mentioned like going to New York and doing something, you know, but one of the things I said was like going to grab a slice of pizza or something like that. And I was like, ah, that was a bad example because I already do that. You know, like I love pizza, and when I want pizza, I just go get it. So I'm not really building my dream reality so that I can go and get pizza. I already do that. So I just wish I wish I didn't say that. It was just a bad example. So anyways, that's one of my regrets. On to question number two. Me personally, as far as anything that I did not say that I wish I did say, I wish I just went deeper into a couple of things that Pekins mentioned. Like he mentioned a business that he started in college, and I wish I had just, you know, went more into, just dug more into the day-to-day operations and what it was like running that business, challenges that he faced. I think he talked about his average, customer, his target audience. But I'm just curious if he tried to scale it and how that went. He also mentioned that it eventually went out of business, or the business eventually, I guess, got, you know, they shut it down. And I'm just curious, like, you know, the events that led up to that. And I wish I had just dug into that a little bit more. So that's my regrets for Pekins. One more thing. He mentioned his health and just, getting diagnosed with diabetes. And I wish that I had just dug more into that as well. As far as, I mean, I have my own health issues, and I wish that I just, you know, just built the conversation a little bit more around that, because, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, I mean, you see the highlights, you see the, you know, people talking about how much money they made and things they're able to buy and the freedom that they have. But along the way, I mean, it's not easy, you know, and we get hit with real life, and we have to juggle, you know, spouses, kids, health issues, and different life struggles. And those are the things that I think that can really help people when we have those conversations. And even people who are considering becoming a business owner or chasing their dreams, whether it's their business owner or not, them having an idea of, man, what is it like to juggle life along with that? I wish I had just dug into that a little bit more. So that's my regret. And so for Pekins, he said that he said, I wish I answered about two of your questions more directly. He said, sometimes I have to remember it's just not that deep. You know, so I guess he felt like he kind of gave a long-winded answer when he could have just simplified it. So he wanted to make sure that the audience got a direct answer as to what his goal is and what he's trying to do and trying to build. And in a nutshell, he said, I want to build generational wealth for my family using real estate. That's what he wanted me to tell you guys. And he's doing that. I mean, he already has a couple properties. He's working on more. He's running and gunning, not in a literal sense. I'm just talking about, with real estate. And he's doing amazing things. Follow him on social media and you'll be able to, keep abreast with what he's doing. And hey, those are the regrets. So thanks for listening to the show. I can't wait for next week. I will catch you guys next time.